Diversity Music Group. Alex H. The Bomb Factory. Success.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to properly introduce the most incredible beast from the east, live and live in color. NJ fitted to leather and soft butter. Color up, my dollars up, I'm winning exotic cars to women, women and more women. More sinning, I'm addicted to success. Blessed, young and gifted, the bar's been lifting. Started from the bottom, I'm now on top of the world. Look, ma, I made it, the new most hated. Underestimated since I haven't been painting. Our stories aren't related, so they don't believe. But who cares, I'ma run a few years before I fade to black. My impact shift back to order to lyrical manslaughter in the first degree.
Definitely keeping fans there. We've got fans out there. We're here. Green and White Show. Joseph Oz here. Murray Tillich to join us in a second. It is a beautiful, and when I say beautiful around the East Coast, I mean beautiful Sunday, December 13th, 2015. We're getting so close to the end of the new year and the beginning of another year. We've got a whole lot to talk about here on the Green and White Show. We all know it was Jets-Giants. We'll get into that collision at MetLife. Okay, we know the Jets are going on to face the Tennessee Titans. They'll be hosting them this week at MetLife. I can already tell the tailgaters are getting crazy for that one. We're going to get into that and a whole lot more. The NFL, another great week, starting with another crazy Thursday game. I mean, the Cardinals, what they had to do, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Like I said, college football, it was fight night last night if you're an MMA fan. So, enough of me talking. Are you ready to talk some Jets football or what? As we get into the matchup at MetLife last week, the New York Giants hosting the New York Jets. Now, I know I went into last week's battle saying that the quarterback situation, well, you probably chalked that one up to the Giants and then looked the rest of the way down the matchup to find yourself some advantages for the Jets. Who knew? Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to go 36 for 50, throw 398 yards and two touchdowns. Great game for Ryan Fitzpatrick as he does top Eli Manning in basically all categories, and a very important one, interceptions, as he had none, and Eli Manning was able to loft one up to the New York Jets. Great victory for the Jets, bragging rights. Awesome win for the guys who wear green and white. Awesome win for the fans. They know they've got bragging rights for the next 4 years. So you know that, you know, that's going to irk the guys who wear blue. Might be one of the reasons my trusty co-host Amiri Tillich isn't here right now. Might still be licking the wounds. Doesn't want me to get that one off. So we'll catch him in a little bit now. One of the reasons why the Jets were able to defeat the New York Giants was, look, you can't let, even though the Giants had what's considered by their standards a really lackluster pass rush this season, you've still got to give a team that's got a foundation in rushing the passer, you've still got to give them that respect that they're going to try at every opportunity to get themselves to the quarterback. So what do you do if you're the New York Jets? And you don't have that up the middle help that every other team would have at the tight end position. Well, you've got to go out there and you've got to get other guys involved up the middle. You've got to run more screenplays. And the reemergence of Bilal Powell was huge in this game. His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, his ability to really be an outlet for Ryan Fitzpatrick was really the key to the game. Bilal Powell catching 8 balls, 91 yards, and one of Ryan Fitzpatrick's 2 touchdowns. We all know Ryan's last touchdown, game winner to Brandon Marshall. So a great game all the way around for how the Jets play offense, for how the Jets play defense. You know, even saw a little special teams burst as well. You want all three phases to do good. Jets, all three phases, did excellent, at least against a New York Giants team, which is now fallen to 5-7. We know that you're going to get a great game from an Odell Beckham Jr., and he didn't disappoint with his six grabs for nearly 150 yards and a touch from Eli Manning. And this is something that the New York Giants have really become. It's really Eli, Odell, Beckham Jr. and the gang, because you're starting to, I mean, really see that if not half Eli's targets go to Odell. Look, I mean, a third of his completion, 6 out of the 18 go to Odell, and pretty much half the yards, 150 out of his almost 300. So what the Giants are really going to be looking for is if another guy, and they pick up Hicks off the scrap heap to see if he can, you know, add a boost to the offense of the New York Giants. You thought Vereen would play more in that offense. You really did. But it's really starting to be Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., and the boys on offense for the Giants. And you know, that's not gonna fare too well, even though the Giants miraculously, near the top, of the NFC East. So the New York Giants, they've got their own problems. We could talk about them ad nauseum when my boy Mary Tillich joins us. Right now, we'll get back into the Jets, who seem to be on a 3-game winning streak and have very few problems. 7-5, looking to go 8-5. I remember the beginning of the year I had the Jets 7-9 or 8-8. So we've reached my threshold here. That doesn't mean I don't think the Jets can win a couple of more games, really nail themselves a wild card spot, and make some noise in this AFC postseason. You're looking at a team that is solid all the way around. They get in the red zone. They know what to do with the ball. They score more touchdowns than field goals. That's what you want from a football team, okay? On offense, they don't look that bad, guys. They're not stagnant. They've got some what you want to call offensive cohesion. You can see with more targets to a number one wide receiver like Brandon Marshall, okay, with more one-on-one matchups for an outstanding wide receiver like Eric Decker, more of that inside work from Bilal Powell. If the running game can get back to what it was in the beginning of the season, which will be great to see a great combination of Ivory and others really getting the ball, you know, downfield. Ivory getting 10 rushes this past week for only 47 yards, but he was able to crack a long one, which is what you want to see from Ivory. You want to see him putting that pressure on that defense, have them going, oh no, hey, here's that bad man again. And we all know Ivory runs that football like a bad man. Green and White Show on the air live. Joseph Haas here at Amiri Tuluk. Not there yet, but he will be. Remember, you can follow us both on Twitter. You can follow myself 24/7 at Jersey Haas, and you can follow my man Amiri Tuluk on Twitter at Amiri Tuluk. Now, if you guys were following me last night or the past couple of nights, you know I've been MMA crazy. Something we'll get into at the top of the next hour with one of our favorite guests, Bigger Badder Benway. You know that's going to be entertaining. We'll see if he can knock me out in 13 seconds, and we'll see if I can make it last the entire distance with our good man Brian Benway. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter. Remember, drop the I, folks. It's with a Y. And then again, special thanks to Robin Vandenberg last week joining us on the program, talking NASCAR and her Patriots as well. Her Patriots not getting the win, so I know she wasn't too happy this week, but it was a wonderful conversation. So special thanks to Robin as well. Remember, she's one of those I guess I's are out and Y's are in. She's one of those too. So out with the I's and in with the Y's. Out with the no's and in with the yes's as we continue here on the Green and White Show. Let me tell you something. If the defensive line continues to play as strong as they played against the New York Giants, it's going to be very difficult for teams to run against the Giants, as it has been all season long. And it's also going to be difficult for guys to sit there and have a lot of time. Why do you think guys like Tom Brady, with one of the quickest releases, if not the quickest release in the league, has more success against the Jets than most? Because if you don't get that ball off quick, you're going to get guys. Damon Harrison is up front, eating up blocks, making tackles on anything that comes up the middle. Okay, you're seeing a whole lot of green and white in the backfield now, which is something something that you started to see a couple of seasons ago. You started to see it a little bit. You started to see it a lot more last season as the Jets would penetrate, as the Jets would move the quarterback off his spot, as I like to say. But they weren't really getting home. You really didn't see the sack total go up. Where now you're really starting to see the Jets' defensive line make contact with the opposing quarterback. You're really starting to see a lot of aggression. It's really becoming a challenge each and every week to draw up a game plan on how to protect an opposing quarterback. And that's a great feeling if you're a Jets fan. You know every week you're at least bringing, the hammer when it comes to working hard on the line of scrimmage. And the Jets defensive line does just that. Great to see the linebacking core, David Harris and that group. The perfect swarm all together has been ferocious. They're stopping the run. They're making it very difficult. They're turning teams into one-dimensional teams, especially when they come in and play at MetLife. We're going to see if they can do the same against the Tennessee Titans. They've got that scrambling rookie quarterback, Marcus Mariota. So we're gonna see exactly what the New York Jets can do against a guy like that. You want to contain him, obviously. You want to keep that bad man in the pocket. You want to keep that bad man from smelling a lot of green. We all saw that incredible run he had last week. I mean, just step back, step through, step gone. And a great play by a bad man like that. So you definitely don't want to give him that kind of opportunity. You don't want to see him give him that kind of green field there. Jets playing a little light in the defensive backfield, a safety or two short. What's it going to take to really spy on a Mariota and keep him, keep him throwing the ball? Let him beat you with his arm. If he does, all the power to the Titans. If he's out there and he's hitting, he's sitting there and he's hitting all the underneath passes and that's what his offense is. Well, then great. The Tennessee Titans actually specialize in getting the ball underneath. So that's not something that you want them to do too often, but I like the way this team is playing so far. I think I've only gotten one or two games wrong the entire season. I know I got the Oakland game wrong, but that was about pretty much it. All the other games pretty much called, and calling the spreads as well. So by the end of the game, I'll give you a prediction on this one as well. Now, talking about some of the other games that would impact people who are listening to the Green and White Show, that means AFC East. The Giants, aforementioned, will be playing the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. All right, Sunday night's going to feature those New England Patriots who are on a bit of a losing streak. They're going to face the Houston Texans who are just winning at just a rapid rate here. J.J. Watt and the boys looking to make that playoff push in the AFC South, and they'll be battling back and forth with a team like the Colts. Pittsburgh, they're going to be battling at Cincinnati, so that's something else you look forward to as far as the AFC divisions and wild cards are concerned. But let's not forget Bills and Eagles, another one for AFC East fans to watch. Another game I'll be watching, Atlanta at Carolina. I'm sure everybody is going to be watching that game. And yes, we are doing a show, and Carolina hasn't lost. But the Warriors have lost. My Golden State Warriors have finally lost the game, 24-1. But it was a tremendous run. Does that mean that it's time for the Carolina Panthers to lose to an Atlanta Falcons team that started out the season, on fire, but has clearly struggled since late? Are they gonna rekindle some of that fire they had early in the season, or is it gonna be the Panthers doing what they do best? Apparently, it's Dab and Cam and those Carolina Panthers trying to stay undefeated. Just one more week. And I heard a lot of people say this week, and they're right. It's not about the Panthers trying to go 16-0. You're trying to go 4-0 now, and you're really just trying to go 1-0 every week. This is the epitome of one week at a time. So we'll see if the Panthers can go ahead and put together a very entertaining 16-0 season so far. 12 wins there. You got to say, they're close enough, and with the remaining schedule, man, it looks pretty already? It looks like there's a red carpet towards 16-0, and the Carolina Panthers are strutting their stuff with Cam the Man Newton and the gang strutting their stuff on the way to 16-0. So we'll continue to follow that one and a whole lot more. Now, as far as college football is concerned, yeah, we're going around a little bit. Don't worry, we'll get back to your New York Jets as far as college football is concerned. It's always great, and this is one of the most fun weekends, especially Saturdays, that you're going to have as far as college football, because you get the Heisman Trophy announcement, which we're going to get into. You get that Heisman Trophy announcement, okay, and then you also get one of the greatest games, if not the greatest game, to be played each and every year. And this year wasn't a stinker. This year was a good game. You get that Army-Navy game. You get the go Army beat Navy, go Navy beat Army chance. You get to see all of our very, very, very proud servicemen and women and their family members, parents, siblings, friends, people that love and respect them. And it's just a good showing for not just those kids who go out there and do it for us, you know, pretty much every day. So we're very proud of all the servicemen and women. Also, it was an enjoyable game to watch Reynolds go out there, and he probably should have gotten a nod at the Heisman Trophy award ceremony, even if it was going to take a couple of helicopters to get him out there. Would have been nice to see him on the stage. You know, didn't get to see too much of the ceremony, but I just knew he wasn't going to be there, so it didn't really intrigue me as much. I kind of felt that, you know, McCaffrey did some things, you know, Watson, leader of a perfect, you know, the Clemson team, but you know, you can't and you almost never overlook a running back that puts up that many yards, that gets that many carries. Nick Saban knew what he was doing 2-3 weeks ago, just feeding the ball to Henry and pretty much feeding him the Heisman Trophy. So a great speech. Great speech, as I got to catch on Twitter. But, you know, Henry wins the Heisman. So a great weekend for college football. They set a lot of the bowl games. I'm going to end up talking to Brian about some of these bowl games, which you know, are going to be fun. So the college playoff is set in full effect. You know, let me get into a little bit more about this MMA as well, as I'm going to get it back to the Jets and what they're going to have to do to face off against the Titans. It will be sort of like a clash. It will be trying to muscle up against the competitor. And that's what you saw between the last couple of nights, even the prelims. Great MMA fighting. If you're not into mixed martial arts, you know, if you're a boxing fan like myself, especially a classic boxing fan, talking with one of my good buddies on Twitter about how much I enjoy a good, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. I'll go back. I'll watch those on YouTube. Love those things. But, you know, really getting into how MMA is becoming, I mean, you've got to be so scientific. You wonder. You just think it's a bunch of people jumping in the ring and grappling. And you'll hear that sometimes. Oh, that's vicious. No, everything is, it's all precision. It's a science in that ring. And it's great to see those guys in the octagon doing what they do. So it was a great set of main events. One really quick, and one not so fast, my friend, as some real challenges really stepped up. And Aldo, man, I mean, I thought it was going to be a little bit more from Aldo, but McGregor just decided he was going to pull a Ronda Rousey and end this thing early. We'll talk about that last fight later in the program as well as we muster on. Now, back to Jets and Titans. And keys to the game, to be perfectly honest, I'm thinking it's plain and simple for the Jets to come out of here with the victory. Now, the Tennessee Titans have won. Remarkable about a road games for them. I mean, they barely won at home. Okay, they barely won at home. But they're a force to be reckoned with in other people's stadiums. So what is it that the New York Jets are going to have to do, hey, both offensively and defensively, to come up with another win, to keep the streak going, okay? And to come up with they need to put a stranglehold on an AFC wild card position, especially with the Steelers playing well. Okay, they lost their quarterback for a couple, but they're still up there. They're still playing well with the resurgence of teams in the AFC South, putting wins together. You've got to really watch out for the Houston Texans of the world and the Indianapolis Colts of the world, because you don't want what looked like a pretty shabby division. You don't want that loser to end up snatching a wild card spot away from a team that looks like they've been poised for one the entire season. So got to watch out for that got to play good football. You got to play sound football. Got to be real sound in the offensive running game. I just don't see why the Jets can't shorten this game. Okay, take a couple of shots in the end zone. Get up by a double digits and really keep a Titans team that you should make a one-dimensional team, okay? Really should keep the Tennessee Titans at bay. I see a lot of openings for the Jets to score. I see a lot of ways where Brandon Marshall is going to be, you know, pivotal on this team. Don't forget, Tennessee's got a defense that you've got to, you know, kind of sit back and game plan on. But it hasn't been easy for the New York Jets to go out and target Brandon Marshall as much as I like him targeted. Look, last week was a thrill for me. I said, yes, keep throwing that bad man the ball. He's going to come up with it. And sure enough, they continue to do it. They continue to feed him the rock, and he continued to come up with great plays. That's one of the keys to a New York Jets victory for me. Okay, feed Brandon Marshall the ball. Make them lean that way. Eric Decker's already being single-teamed. Okay, make the coverage a little bit looser on him. Have him pop open for a big play. Okay, I like the way they go Marshall to Decker. Okay, it's a good offensive game plan. You've got the equivalent of a one wide receiver on the opposite side of the field. All right, utilize his talents. Okay, you're not able to attack teams passing wise up the seam. Okay, you don't have the tight end game that other teams do, but you can catch out of the backfield like you've proved this past weekend against the Giants. Okay, Bilal Powell has to remain a factor. Hey, for all that game to work, you've got to have the running game working. Okay, so Chris Ivory, whatever has been going on, it's time to get back to that 100 yards a game mentality. It's time to go for career highs. It's time to rush the ball 25 times a game and get a lot of the pressure off of Ryan Fitzpatrick, because there's really no way Jets will win games if Fitzpatrick's got to throw 50 times and Ivory's only running 10. That is not a key to victory for the New York Jets. Definitely have to balance that up a bit. So that's what the New York Jets will be fighting towards this week around. They're going to fight for more balance, okay, more sound offensive line game, which means you want to see them running more. You want to see them gaining ground. You want to see them eating up clock. You want them to shorten this game. It doesn't have to be a long shootout. No, just go ahead and handle business 17-3. Or something like that. You know what I mean? 21-10. Make it a game where the Titans don't ever feel like they're in it to begin with. You're always in it when you're listening to the Green and White Show, folks. Joseph Haas here. Amir Tuluk, not there, but, you know, always here. Make sure you follow us both 24/7 on Twitter. You can follow myself on Twitter at Jersey Haas. You can follow the man, the myth, the legend, Amir. Well, now I guess he is a myth. Where is he? Amiri. At Amiri Tuluk on Twitter as well. He's going to kill me when he hears this. Okay, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have our good friend, Reverend Ralph Mancini, join us for the Rest Report. We're going to talk AFC East football. We'll get into the rest of the NFL and more, which means this gives me a little bit more time to talk about some of the things that I want to talk about, like my Golden State Warriors. Man, I really thought they were going to challenge for the record there. You know, you started to hear it. Of course, I mean, come on. How do you go through a 7-game road trip and not lose any games? It had to happen during the road trip, and it did. Back-to-back games in the road trip. They played a double overtime game against the Boston Celtics. I mean, this team had to be beat. They had to be tired. You know, great effort to make it go as long as it lasted. And the one thing about the game that was truly entertaining was how much the Bucks fan base really embraced the fear of the deer, how they really embraced being the team to knock out the streak. I mean, I can imagine if they didn't, those 24-1 shirts would be meaningless right now. But now all those 24-1 shirts have value. I'm wondering how many of those I'll see on eBay, you know, being sold as to collectors. So that's another great opportunity, great marketing opportunity. 24-1 are the Golden State Warriors left. Yes, they've lost a game. It does happen, and we are having a show. And still can't believe they lost to the Bucks. 108-95. The streak is over. It's all good. They've got another, you know, two-thirds of the season to play. They've still got Steph Curry. Let's not forget that. Yes, they lost the game, but they've still got Steph Curry. So Steph still has a shot. He just won't have 82-0 season. Now we'll see how many losses this team actually incurs. All right, I'm looking at the Bulls' record and saying, they got a nice little shot there. Okay, they got a nice little shot, but that Bulls team went on some double-digit runs in that season, and we'll see if the Warriors have another double-digit run in them through this season. So a little NBA for you, because, you know, got to let them Warriors, got to give them West Coast boys a little here on the East Coast. Got to give those New York Jets some love. Are they going to make it another win? Hey, this is the second, you know, few-game streak in a row. This is how the Jets are doing it here. They're streaking towards a postseason berth, getting just a little bit closer, okay? Getting them a little bit closer. A win against the Tennessee Titans here at MetLife, 1 p.m. Eastern time. You know the parking lot will be packed. You know the stadium will be packed. Only a couple of home games left for the New York Jets and their Jets fans. I know there'll be some tailgates going crazy. I know there'll be some wings out there. Hey, on a day where it's, what is it outside? Out here, 60-something degrees in the New Jersey area? Just can't believe it. So it's going to be an outstanding day for football all across the NFL, to be perfectly honest. I don't think there's going to be that many cold temperatures out there. You might get rain here or there, but you're not really going to see, December weather in any of the football stadiums. So, you know, just take it and enjoy it. I take it and enjoy it. Let's watch some good, clean football. Hey, I love the winter scenes as well. I love the snow coming down. I love the slush and the muck when people play football. But, you know, I want to see some passing. I want to see some running. I want to see some good football too. So, well, let's get a couple more clear weather games while we can get them here. Green and White Show. Don't forget, you can always check us out every Sunday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Always here for you every Sunday morning, going over the past Jets game, the Jets game that was, and the Jets game that will be. So hope everybody's enjoying the show right now. Do a quick Ryan Fitzpatrick timeout. Warm things up for the Reverend Ralph Mancini, who will be joining us momentarily on the program. Now, you guys know you can find me and Making a Resurgence and coming back with all new articles. HostileInterpretations.com. That's HSTYLEinterpretations.com. So make sure you look out for that. Okay. Also, my inbox, always your inbox, JosephHaasNFL@gmail.com. Now, I've told you several times, and I'll tell you again, you can always follow me on Twitter 24/7 at Jersey Haas. Catch me everywhere all over the internet as well. So you know I'm there. You know I'm always giving opinions about this and that in sports. Going to get the articles back up as well. So can't wait to hear everybody's takes on what my take is on certain things in sports. Back to the Jets and the Titans before we get into the rest of the AFC East with the man, Reverend Ralph Mancini. Now, Dolphins can easily, you know, pick up a victory here against a wounded Giants team, right? Bills still very much in the hunt as well, okay? Can pick up a victory against an Eagles team, which has been able to rattle one or two off. But they're also, they're a bunch that you just never know which Eagles team you're going to get. You know, one week you're going to get a team that can easily score 50 points on anybody. And then the next week you get a team that just, I mean, they look complacent, stagnant, all of the words you want to use. All right, so Chip Kelly out on the recruiting trail this week as well. Did I see him? Yeah, I did. I thought I saw him at Army-Navy. Maybe he was checking out Reynolds. Maybe he was checking out a future quarterback. He knows he can get that quarterback. Who's what they say? He can probably get that quarterback in the sixth round. Who knows? The guy's got a good arm. The guy can run the ball. Maybe Chip Kelly saying, should have tried him out at Oregon. Let's see what he can do for me in the pros. So watch out. Who knows? You may see a Navy midshipman getting drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and you know he finishes his military requirement. And next thing you know, he's throwing passes for Chip Kelly. If Chip Kelly's even still there at that time, who knows? So that's a little bit of Eagles love or anti love for you. Anti the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know. People know I'm anti the Cincinnati Bengals since they started. This season, well, they're still a very powerful and very powerful team in the AFC. I'm giving them a little more credit each and every week, and each and every time I see them, I still want to see them play a big game, win the biggest game match. So I'll wait till the postseason to to really comment on the Cincinnati Bengals. Yep, I'm going to let them go the entire season and not comment them on them anymore. I mean, I there's nothing else to say. They're going to get a playoff spot unless they really tank, okay, unless they really become a dumpster fire. And all I want them to do is win a postseason game, win one. The fans of Cincinnati deserve it. That organization deserves it. This team deserves it. They've played very well this season. Yeah, they haven't been the best team when the lights shone the brightest, but I still think with their offense at unbelievable from defensive front, how the Bengals don't win at least one postseason game this season will be will be a mystery to me, and should really, really be a sign of things to come in terms of changes. No more singing on the show. Changes for sure. No changes needed as it comes to the New York Jets. They'll be hosting the Tennessee Titans. Coaching staff, Coach Todd Ball's doing good. The only thing I won't say that. There are a couple of things the New York Jets could do to improve the roster coming up next season. Of course, a tight end is one of them. Yeah, you want your tight ends to come off of injury, all right, and see what you've actually got there, all right? But you know, an explosive tight end, do you have one on the roster? We'll wait and see, okay? Be good to get one on there, all right? How about another position that would help to have a dynamic player? I've been begging Jeremy Curley to make a play on special teams for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe what this team really needs is somebody explosive back there to really change field position for the Jets. Maybe that's what the Jets should do. Make that a priority, all right? Make that one of the things they shoot for in the NFL draft or even in free agency. But that should be a priority. I remember a couple of seasons ago, the Jets were looking for some impact players. I suggested a couple. One was Jacoby Jones. Emmanuel Sanders playing in Denver right now and playing well in Denver right now. And then Jacoby Jones, who I thought they needed a guy who could be a spark on special teams. And sure enough, it's a couple seasons, and you still don't see that spark on special teams that you feel the New York Jets should have, or at least a team that's looking to make an outstanding playoff run should have. So, you know, that's just one of the many phases of the football game that you're expecting, you know, a team like the New York Jets to be. If you're a winning team, you want to be able to impact the game. And on every phase of the football game, you want to be able to be a great offensive team, okay? You want to be able to run the football effectively. You want to be able to pass the football effectively. You want to be able to take the shots downfield, all right? You want to be able to have good protection for your quarterback. You on defense, you want to be able to rush the passer. You want to be able to stop the run. You want to be able to blitz well. You want to be able to play safe well. You want to be able to cover, okay? All those things that make Bosa. But on special teams, you also want to impact the game. All right? It's not fair catch, fair catch, fair catch. You want to be able to move the football. You want to be able to give your offense, you want to be able to change field position. Give your offense an opportunity, okay, to play with a short field. Your defense wants to do that, and also your special teams should want to do that. So that's one area in which I think the Jets really need to improve on. And that's just not that they're shabby. It's just not game-changing. You know, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to some game-changing football on that side. You know, you got three phases, use them all. I want to see some game-changing on that side of the ball. So let's see what the New York Jets can do towards that in the offseason. So tight end help, a little special teams help. Those are places in which the Jets could definitely, you know, increase production. Right now, they're going to look to use what they've got against these Tennessee Titans as they roll in. Like I said before, we'll get into a little AFC East chat. Sunday Night Football, Patriots and Texans, going to be a nice one. Let's not forget Monday Night Football as well. Dolphins and Giants, a nice one. The Buffalo Bills. They're going to be a challenge for the Jets, especially with that win. All right, you're going to want to see the Bills lose a game or two. They'll be playing in the 1 p.m. slot as well. They'll be playing the Eagles as the Jets are playing the Titans. You're going to want to see with the schedule is shaping up. You're going to want to see whether or not the New York Jets can outlast. How many more wins can they get this season versus the Buffalo Bills? Are they going to be able to put some distance between themselves and teams like the Bills and the Dolphins, teams that really shouldn't be, you know, competitive with them going Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick was injured, but the Jets didn't have to go through too many games without a starting quarterback, okay? The Jets have had injuries, plenty of injuries, okay? But they didn't have to change their head coach, all right? So these are things that both those other two teams had to go through. That's one of the reasons why I shouldn't see them even within a game or two of the Jets. What the Jets should do right now is start to make little distance. And by doing that, that's just pretty much going out there, winning every football game possible. Starts this Sunday with the Tennessee Titans. So, great opportunity for the New York Jets to put a stranglehold on an AFC playoff wild card position, especially with the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Bengals. Let's see if the Bengals are able to go out there and, you know, why not? Help out the New York Jets a little bit. Okay, I've been talking smack about the Bengals all season, but they can go out there, really help the Jets this week by getting a win against the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, a little bit more as we delve into the Green and White Show. I'm going to go into a lot more of the Week 14 NFL matchups. We already talked about the Cardinals and how they were able to snatch victory from and the football, actually. Woo, great to see Freeney still playing as the Arizona Cardinals defeat the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Vikings have had a couple of opportunities this season to really, you know, to really make a statement for themselves. It's a season in which the Green Bay Packers are playing a little weaker than they normally had, don't have the stranglehold over the division that they normally have. You're looking for a team like the Minnesota Vikings, who playing in the elements as well. Talk about a season for them to be playing in the elements. It really hasn't gotten that cold out there as well. So, hey, what am I saying? I mean, they've had a snow flurry, you know, as reported by my good friend out there in Sioux Falls. They've had themselves a snow flurry. So not saying it hasn't been cold at all out there, but it's been a relatively warm winter, and they happen to be playing outdoors this season. So Minnesota Vikings really need to take advantage of their opportunity. Didn't this past Thursday against the Cardinals, as the Cardinals slip past them. That's 23-20. Bridgewater sack fumble to end the game. That's how that game ends. Is it a poor coaching decision? Should they have just tried the 48-49-yard field goal? Hey, we'll never know. It's not a gimme at 48 or 49 yards. So trust me, no gimme there. I'll tell you what is a gimme. Give me another Cardinals victory. That's what the Arizona fans are saying as they continue to move forward. Now, touching on the Sunday games, we got the Detroit Lions and the St. Louis Rams. NFC West teams are definitely some of the stronger teams and some of the more competitive teams in the NFL, but I'm really starting to wonder about these St. Louis Rams. Are they bordering along the lines of you know, dirty? You know, you're seeing a lot of opposition players get injured. Look, injuries are injuries, and they happen. But you're seeing some maybe questionable plays from that defense in terms of, you know, playing up to and past the whistle. So, you know, you just don't need that in football. There's enough risk of injury on each and every play before without people going out there as if they're quote-unquote headhunters or anything like that. So, should be an intriguing matchup. Lions-Rams, let's see what the Lions can do. Can they keep a little bit of positive momentum going there in Detroit? We'll see what ends up happening there. Matthew Stafford looking to continue to put points up, continue to put yards up. They're probably going to end up franchise tagging that guy anyway. Let's move on to the next. I've already talked about this one a couple of times in the 1 o'clock hour. This will definitely be the feature game. Carolina Panthers hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, the Dome team comes outside. We'll see if there's enough weather to impact the Atlanta Falcons. It might just be enough Cam Newton to impact that team moving forward. You'll see the Chicago Bears. They'll host the Washington Redskins team, which has turned it around a little bit, as you can see. Still going with Kirk Cousins, all right? Still going with Kirk Cousins as their guy. And, you know, admittedly so, they're not looking at RG3. I don't think RG3 is going to be there next year. A lot of people don't think so. I mean, I don't care how much the owner loves the quarterback. Unless the coach is gone next season, it really doesn't look like RG3 is going to get himself a chance to play any more football in Washington, which is, you know, maybe this is good for him. Maybe the season off for him is good for him. A little bit of reflection. I mean, how to be versus how not to be around other teammates. So who knows? Whoever gets RG3 next season, maybe getting a grown-up, you know, a more mature, ready to play football, healthier Robert Griffin III. Like, he gets to start all over again. I mean, he's that's basically it. Like, he's taking a year off, though it's, you know, in the prime of his athletic career, taking the time off to kind of, you know, get himself well, okay? Get himself back up on his feet. Let's see if he can return to what we saw. That rookie year seems so long ago, doesn't it? I mean, all of what he was able to accomplish that season, what he had us looking forward to. We said, wow, if he plays the game this way and continues to play at this pace, what kind of quarterback did we get? I mean, these guys all shot up like a cannon. The Andrew Lux, the RG3s, Russell Wilsons, other world, and now, you know, you got Russell Wilson, not really struggling, but not looking like the man-child he'd been the past couple of seasons, okay? Andrew Luck, not even on the football field, and neither is RG3, you know, RG3 recovering from, I don't know, coach's ego and Andrew Luck recovering from injury. Talk about another quarterback recovering from injury. We're talking about the great, another quarterback recovering from injury. How about Peyton Manning? When's Peyton Manning going to get himself back on the football field? Speaking of getting himself back, the one and only, folks. Never, ever. Hey, how's it going there, Amiri? How's it going? There's my man, Amiri Tulloch. Don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter, at Amiri Tulloch. Amiri, I was just going through the NFL schedule, as it's going to be another great week. We talked a little Jets-Giants before. It was a very entertaining game there. Maybe not entertaining for yourself. I enjoyed it, okay? I'm sure you enjoyed the Odell Beckham Jr. show. As I always say, why am I still talking, Amiri? Are you ready to talk some Jets-Giants football or what?
I have to tag in Haas and offer my opinion. Sorry for being late. But, you know, my take on that Jets-Giants game from last week was that I think it really really solidified, honestly, the successes that the Jets have had this season. And it kind of, re-grounds the team. And we saw that at the beginning of the year when the Jets were on those winning streaks, when the Jets were able to put up victories, very important victories. I think the game against the Giants was a game where if you come out of that with a victory, obviously your optimism, you know, the level of optimism you have on the entire season just grows exponentially. And not to mention the fact that you beat a team that is entering it also with playoff in mind. So it really solidifies the victory. It really solidifies the Jets season. And it puts them in a very good position, motivationally speaking. Now they're back in the wild card hunt. Now they're back in a situation where you can really look at the Jets as maybe a contender for something much larger than just beating the Giants, for example. Now you can maybe look at the Jets as again, the wild card contender. And you know, I think the win just put, I think the hope, not only the hope back into the Jets nation, but also just the realization that, you know what, this is a team that could, moving forward, be still in that conversation. Despite their rough patches here and there, they could still be in that conversation, and the Jets were able to grit out a victory. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty on either side. I don't think any team in this game was necessarily happy with how they played, but when you talk about the huge impact Brandon Marshall had, you talk about the huge impact Eric Decker had coming in with a couple of catches on his own, you know, and you talk about the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to just make plays, and I think that was all you really needed. The fact that the Jets' run defense kind of snuffed New York's run offense, the Giants' run offense. I mean, I just think in general the Jets, this was one of those games, Haas, where the New York Jets looked like what they could potentially be and what they could be for the course of a full season, and this really puts their schedule, the rest of their schedule, back in perspective. And now you get a chance to really analyze the team from this playoff contender mentality rather than a team that's coming off of a 2-3-game losing streak here.
Who's that bad man with an opinion? That's Amiri Tulloch. That's that bad man with an opinion. Getting back to the Green and White Show, another man with an opinion on all teams, AFC East and the entire NFL. Let's get our good friend Reverend Ralph Mancini on the program. Remember, you can join him. You can also follow him on Twitter at Reverend Ralph Mancini. All of a sudden, Amiri, it's a party going on over here. Reverend Ralph, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Rev, how are you?
Always a pleasure to be joined. Always a pleasure to be joined for the Rush Report by Reverend Ralph Mancini. Hey, we're talking Jets Giants and what was. Let's talk about what will be in terms of AFC East matchups. Okay, you've got the Dolphins playing, you got the Bills playing, you got the Patriots playing, all playing in their own times, all playing their own time slots. You got the Dolphins on Monday night. You got the Patriots going to play some great Sunday night football against the Texans. Both those teams looking to battle. I want to ask you about Bills Eagles, which is going to be coming up in the same time slot as the New York Jets. Bills Eagles, two teams with high-flying quarterbacks and well, high-flying offense. Well, okay, the Bills and the Eagles. Go for it, Ralph.
Hey, you know, I think, you know, what the Bills should really be careful about is this Eagles offense. Now they have Sam Bradford back, and, mm-hmm. you know, their game plan is they want to run off a lot of plays in as little as time possible. They got that fast-paced offense. And so, you know, what the Bills have to be careful of is, you know, they have to make their substitutions quickly, and they have to keep pace with that Eagles offense. And, you know, the one thing with the Bills is, you know, sometimes they've had some miscommunications, some communication breakdowns, and so I think that's what they really have to be careful of. As far as the Bills on offense, hey, you know, everybody is envisioning a Shady McCoy game, a revenge game, and that could that's the way it could play out, you know. They've been running the ball very well, and I think that's a big advantage here for the Bills is the fact that Shady McCoy's been playing very well. And the other thing is that Tyrod Taylor, he's been getting Sammy Watkins more involved in the game plan in general. They've been doing a good job of that. And I also think Tyrod Taylor is a little healthier now than he was, you know, during the midpoint of the season. He's been playing well. I think either team can win this game. But overall, I think Buffalo's got a better team. You know, I know the Eagles won. They pulled off the big upset, but a lot of things went right for them. And I don't see all those things happening this week. If I had to come up with a prediction, I think Buffalo pulls this one out. I like the way they're running the ball. I like the way Tyrod Taylor is playing. I like the way Sammy Watkins is playing. They got Charles Clay at tight end. I think he's going to be a factor as well. And Buffalo obviously needs to win this game. They need to keep pace with the Jets because if Buffalo loses, I think they're pretty much done in terms of being a playoff team. So I kind of like Buffalo here.
Mm. Now, when you talk about the AFC East in general, obviously we kind of touched on it just a few moments ago with Haas and I, and the Jets now kind of re-enter the playoff conversation. Do you think there's any chance that when you take a look at the schedules of Buffalo and maybe even Miami, is there any chance that you can see them maybe sneaking back into the postseason hunt, or do you think at this point their only future for this year, their only outlook for this year is to just try to win as many games as possible?
Yeah, I think a lot of things need to go right for them, especially for Miami. And really, you know, they need these other teams to slip up somewhere as well. You know, I'm talking about teams like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and even the New York Jets. So, but, you know, and if you're a coach of the Dolphins or you're the coach of the Buffalo Bills, what you're telling your team right now is, hey, don't worry about the other teams. You just win the games that are right in front of you right now. They're mathematically alive. And as long as you're mathematically alive, you just go out there and you win the game that's in front of you. I think that's your mentality going into these, you know, final few weeks of the season.
Mm. Again, we're here with Reverend Ralph Mancini on the Green and White Show. Joseph Haas there, Amiri Tella here. Now, let me get your thoughts moving forward on this Miami Giants game that will be taking place on Monday night. Giants 5-7, Miami is 5-7. How do you anticipate that one to play out? I think Miami can hold up a fight.
They're two teams playing for something. I like the way Miami bounced back last week. They ran the ball very well. And Ryan Tannehill didn't really make a lot of mistakes. It was a good victory, low-scoring game. But I look at the Giants as the more desperate team. I look at the Giants as a team that, you know, they still have a chance of winning that division, as crazy as that may seem. Nobody wants to win that division in the NFC East. So, and the way I look at it is, like, to me, I don't see the Giants being that much of a better team than Miami on paper. But the thing I would narrow it down to is I look at both quarterbacks. I'm comparing Eli Manning to Ryan Tannehill. And if I had to put my trust or place my chips on one of those quarterbacks, it's Eli Manning. I'm going to take Eli Manning over Ryan Tannehill because I know Eli Manning is clutch. I know that, you know, he's made big plays before in crucial times with the money on the line. Ryan Tannehill hasn't. I mean, you know, when was the last time, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, brought his team back from behind or made a big play with the money on the line? I know the guy's talented. I know he's a great athlete. You know, he's not battle-tested. I know Eli Manning is. He's got two Super Bowl rings. I kind of lean on the Giants here.
You know, you may be able to, you may not be able to count on snow in December as I look out my window, but you can always count on the Reverend Ralph Mancini giving his opinion on the Miami Dolphins completely and utterly. I can understand Ryan Tannehill maybe not being, you know, looking like the franchise quarterback that the Miami Dolphins would. And I definitely remember asking Antoine Staley this when he joined us on the program in the Rush Report. Ryan Tannehill does have the traits of a franchise quarterback. He's got a nice arm, okay? He can get the ball deep. Hey, he can throw the ball short very accurately. He can move in the pocket well. The franchise seems to be behind him. You know, you look for that. You look for him to take that one next step and become the franchise quarterback. What's it going to take for him to do that in Miami? What's it going to take for the New York Jets to ever get themselves a franchise quarterback? Getting it back to them, Ralph. I made one comment during the show and said, a couple of things the Jets need, even though they're able to make up for it with the screen pass, is the seam pass to the tight end and some explosion in the return game. Okay, is there another area that you can see on the New York Jets that could use a little pick-me-up?
Oh. Well, I definitely agree with you on the tight end front. Another area, huh?
I mean, they're great defensively.
You know, I think overall depth at certain positions. You mm-hmm. know, like, you know, going into next year in the draft, I think that, you know, you want to shore up that secondary. You know, there's mm-hmm, certain mm-hmm. spots in that secondary that are getting a little bit long in the tooth. You know, Darrelle Revis, he's still a great player, but maybe not the player he was about, you know, 3 years ago. Antonio Cromartie, I don't think he's going to be around next year. So I would shore up the depth in the secondary. That's crucial in today's NFL with so many teams mm-hmm. throwing the ball around. I like their front seven, but, you know, maybe I would even, you know, shore up the depth at the linebacker position because, mm-hmm. you know, let's face it. You know, guys like the Mario Davis and David Harris, they're not coverage guys, you know. So, you know, maybe, you know, I would look to add, you know, one or two linebackers, you know, that can actually cover a tight end, you know, if need be, or cover a speedy running back out of the backfield. So, I would look to shore up those areas. And also shore up the depth at wide receiver as well. I mean, look, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, they've just been fabulous this year. But, you know, what do you really have behind them? You know, Devin Smith, he hasn't been reliable. I know he's young, and you're going to give him another year. But Jeremy Curley, is he even going to be around next year? So, yeah, I would shore up the depth at wide receiver as well.
Yeah, don't forget Owusu and Nunua. There are a couple of people on that. There are a couple of people in the wide receiver position there with depth on the Jets, but you're right.
They're unproven, though.
Very unproven, correct there. Haven't been giving any of the production that you would look towards for the Jets to be able to spread the ball around. Always able to spread it around. Gets us a little bit of everything when he joins us, the great Reverend Ralph Mancini. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Reverend Ralph. Hey, Rev, it's been another Sunday, another great Sunday. Make sure you join us for another one. Enjoy your Sunday of football.
Always do, and always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks, my man. Again, folks, the great Reverend Ralph Mancini. Love when he joins us on the program to give us the AFC East and a lot more. We get to talk NFL with the man as well. It's always fun. A couple of points that he touched on. You know what, Amiri, he made a great point as well. I was kind of looking myopically at, you know, what the Jets needed to improve on in terms of the starting lineup, in terms of what's on the field right now. But he makes a great point with depth, because one season you've got, you know, great statistics in one level of the playing field, but then an injury, a retirement, a free agent move, and next thing you know, an area of your team that you thought you had a lot, you know, extreme depth in, or you thought
right.
you had under control, next thing you know, that becomes a problem point. So a defensive side of the ball for the Jets, Amiri, which is talented, could easily be a team that can't cover the pass if a Cromartie has to retire and a Revis isn't what he used to be, and they don't get depth in the safety position like they don't have now. So he makes a great point.
Right, and I think that goes back to how crucial, obviously, emphasizes, I guess, the cruciality of the draft toss and making draft picks. I mean, over the past few years, the Jets have made acquisitions in the draft that have benefited the team, but I can't necessarily think of a situation where the Jets have really been able to kind of capitalize on a defensive pick that they've made, for example, on the defensive end. Obviously, Leonard Williams, the player that they drafted first over mm-hmm. In the first round, is an example of somebody who is preparing them for the future. But mm-hmm. I would like to see the Jets maybe go after, as you mentioned there, and as Reverend Ralph mentioned there, a cornerback perhaps in the draft this year. Maybe even look into a linebacker, because the core for the New York Jets linebacker position is one of those older groups on the team. The safety position could always use some bolstering. And so, yes, I totally agree that the Jets are in a position right now where they have a solid team in 2015. But when you start to look forward to 2016 to 2017, and when you start to analyze longevity as a concern and factor that into what the team's success will be moving forward, then that's, I think, when you have to realize that and emphasize, I guess, the fact that the New York Jets haven't necessarily been the best drafting team over the past few years. So I want to see the New York Jets maybe take a few steps forward in the 2016 NFL draft, and maybe take a few steps forward when it comes to, you know, picking out and allotting these up-and-comers to their franchise that can really take on that new ingrained role. And I also think when you have players like Darrell Revis, when you have players like Antonio Cromartie, I think it's even better to get the young guys in at this moment now, because you can have that transition where you can have Cromartie and Revis play that mentorship kind of role. You can have a Calvin Pace even play that kind of mentorship kind of role. Not Calvin Pace. He's a little on the young side in that regard. But when you have somebody even like a David Harris, have him.
Yeah,
play
he's getting there. He's
role.
Getting long in the tooth.
Right. Exactly. So I think the this time right now, when you have the veterans assembled on this team to bring in some new bodies and have them kind of transition in. Obviously, not everyone's going to start immediately, but have those players kind of ease their way into the system, get a little bit acclimated to how the New York Jets operate things, and that I think could create a more seamless position for the New York Jets defensive core 3-4 years later.
Amen. Hey, longevity, I know we got that here, 115 shows and counting. Hey, that's because I got a number one draft pick on my side. Amiri, we're going to hit him with a Ryan Fitzpatrick timeout and then get into Bigger Batter Benway at the top of the hour. Amiri, go.
Yes, sir. The listeners out there can go check me out throughout the week over at jgsportstalk.com. That is at jgsportstalk, and also at Amiri Tulla on Twitter. That's AmiriTullocH.
Hey, you know you can find me at HostileInterpretations.com. Don't forget on Twitter 24/7 at Jersey Haas. And last but not least, my inbox is your inbox, Joseph Haas, NFL at gmail.com. As we get to the top of the hour here, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the great, great, great state of New Jersey over here. God, the weather is unbelievable. Can you believe it's December? I don't know whose weather's better, our weather here or our next guest out there in the great state of Texas. Welcome in Bigger Batter Benway himself. That's right, Brian Benway. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Benway. That is with a Y, not with an I, folks. I know he, like me, is hugging a cup of coffee because he, like me, was up way too late watching some unbelievable fight. And then one fight that ended way too soon. It was like, okay, everybody go to sleep now. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Brian, welcome to the program.
Good morning. First of all, I actually don't drink coffee, believe it or not. And it's weird because when I used to work in hockey and broadcast hockey, every single hockey player that I've ever met drinks a ton of coffee. My parents both drink a ton of coffee. I'm just naturally high on life and naturally energetic. So I wake up in the morning after watching UFC late last night, had a great, great mix of alcoholic drinks last night. So I got up and chug a Gatorade. That's my coffee, is Gatorade.
No additives, no preservatives, 100% Brian Benway for you here on the program. Okay, we're going to get into a little football first, then we're going to get into a lot of MMA fun. First, the football man loved the Thursday night game, Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings. Can't believe it went down to another. I mean, we're getting all of these exciting primetime standalone games coming down to these last, you know, these end-of-the-game decisions. Was it a great call to give for Bridgewater to go back there? I mean, it looked like that ended the game. Should have kicked the field goal? What's your thoughts on the way the Thursday night game ended?
Yeah, first of all, remember the last couple of years, how bad all the Thursday night games were? I mean,
you don't
hear that anymore. To last year and the year before, I don't think we had one or two good Thursday night games in the last couple of years. And this year we've had several. And for me, well, you know my thoughts about kicking, Hush, and I know you are upset when I bring it up, but the way the NFL is today, you've got to kick a field goal. You have to get the points. You don't want to take points off the board. So that's what I would have done had I been in that position, but I'm not. I'm here talking to you. But when you look at the situation, you have to kick a field goal and not take points off the board that way.
December, wait, just let me write this one down to me real quick. December 13th, 2015, Brian Benway gives props to kicker. Okay, Mariko.
Just because I have to, because that's the way the rules are written currently, doesn't mean I want to, but that's because I have to.
Just had to get that one down.
There you go. Now, wait, the Arizona Cardinals have you've been one of the biggest supporters from like day one, but they've amassed a quiet 11-2 record through the course of the season. Brian, do you think they are a legitimate postseason contender? They clinched their playoff spot with that victory against Minnesota.
I do. Yes, I do. And I'm actually, you're right, Amiri. We don't talk a lot. Nobody ever talks about the Arizona Cardinals. It's like nobody ever talks about the San Antonio Spurs nationally either. You know, when you're looking at the Cardinals, I like this football team, and they have a couple of key factors. Carson Palmer, who I never actually thought was going to be a fantastic pro, because there was a time when he wasn't very good. There was a time where he was making a lot of late game mistakes. And if you need to win championships, what do you have to have? Number one, a solid quarterback. Number two, a solid defense. Number three, a solid coaching staff that doesn't get out coached. And the Cardinals have all three of those. And in the NFC, looking at what they're going up against, looking at the division that they're in, I honestly do believe the Cardinals can make a good playoff run, and I would like to see that. I like to see underdog teams do well, and I think the Cardinals are one of these teams that they could make a run for the playoffs, and I would like to see that.
Interesting. Well,
Can I chime in there? Because I was clearing my throat as he said nobody talks about the Arizona Cardinals. I just wanted to clear my throat. I talk about them. Okay.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
All right, my bad. Didn't mean to interrupt, Amiri.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just interesting in general just to see the ways that a team that is 11-2 like the Arizona Cardinals go completely unnoticed through the course of their season. But on the flip side, you have an 11-2 team in New England that has obviously had the streak before them, but has now on the same plateau as the Cardinals and you know, in the same position, or at least 10-2 at this point. Let me then get your thoughts moving forward on the NFL in general. The schedule coming up, as Haas mentioned a little bit earlier on in the show, is going to be a very intriguing one. The Jets and the Titans face off. The Jets came off with that victory last week against the Giants. How surprising was that win for you, if at all, against New York? And how do you think that will move this Jets team over the next few weeks? Will that be a motivational win, in your opinion? How would you assess that Giants victory?
I'll tell you what, it was very surprising. I was actually at a friend's house last Sunday, and we had two or three different games on. We were actually getting ready to go to a hockey game, which, Amiri, I know you're excited about that. So I was going to a game, and it was 20-10. And we said, all right, this game's over. So we turn the game off. We go to the hockey game. It's pregame at the AT&T Center, same building where the Spurs play in San Antonio. And I'm sitting there, and he looks at me, and he says, hey, the Jets beat the Giants in overtime. I said, shut up. There's no way that happened. Yeah. I looked it up, and then we went and watched it later. That's a heck of a win. But I go to the opposite side of the coin, too, is that's a typical Tom Coughlin coach team the last several years, a typical team where they can't hold a lead late. On the other side, for the Jets, yeah, that's going to be a big momentum shifter. Whenever you can come from behind in the fourth quarter and in overtime and win a game like that, that is a great way to do it. But I also would look at what the Jets have schedule-wise coming down the stretch, because we know that I've said on the show I don't believe the Jets are a playoff-caliber team. I haven't thought so in a couple of years. But it's games like those against the Giants that can make a pretty good streak starter, and we'll have to see how that goes down the stretch. But I will give the Jets all the props in the world. That was an amazing comeback. And like I said, I turned the game off and left because I thought it was going to be over with. So, kids, the lesson here is never turn your games off early, or never leave a game early, or else you might miss out on something pretty cool like I did last week.
The public service announcement from our man, Brian Benway. Brian Benway joining us on the program, as he does each and every week in this time slot. Love hearing the opinions as well, and also giving advice to the kids. Advice to the kids. Got to love that. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's the old NBC, The More You Know. Remember those back in the day? I felt like
I was
just on one of those. The More You Know. Do, do, do.
La, da, da, da. Yeah, exactly. Can't believe it. Yes, bringing it back, bringing it back. Hey, kids, also, don't forget, while you're watching a fight, don't blink. You just might miss the best part. I nearly blinked and missed. Oh, yeah, we had to bring it to MMA, Amiri. I got you. It's driving me absolutely batty. I couldn't wait for this section of the program. MMA UFC 194. Tell me, Brian, that you saw a one-punch knockout coming from that main event. I didn't.
I did not see that. First, let me set the stage for where I was during the UFC 194. Have you guys heard of a place called Twin Peaks up north? Have you heard of what that is?
Yeah, I think they had a TV show about it once.
It is way better than Hooters. Let's just put it this way. So it's a place very similar to Hooters, but I think classier women.
You went a completely different route on that one. Oh, okay. We went there.
Yeah.
We were talking to the kids, and now we're talking to the adults. Okay.
Yeah, correct. So it's like a classier Hooters. So I was in there with tons of drunken people watching the event last night, and I sat there, and my buddy and I were there, and we're like, oh, this is going to be a great fight. We're Conor McGregor fans. I love the way he trash talks, and he's badass, by the way. And one punch, bam. I did not see it coming. It was one of those things where you watch it in slow-mo, and you look at, holy cow, how much that had to hurt for Jose Aldo to take that right in the smacker. That was an unbelievable one-punch knockout. And I will say this, as we continue going down the path of MMA and UFC, sometimes people get upset when fights last only 13 seconds. For me, I sometimes think it's more exciting because you don't expect it to happen. So mm-hmm. for me, you know, when I watch fights like that, I think sometimes it's a lot better because we were expecting it to go the distance. We were expecting it to go back and forth. I like the one-punch knockouts sometimes. And last night was amazing. The reaction at the MGM Grand, which, by the way, as you know, I used to cover MMA and mm-hmm. boxing in Las Vegas. That building has seen some great moments in Las Vegas. I've been in that building for some great moments. When Chris Weidman, who, by the way, lost his title last night, mm-hmm. I was in the building in Vegas 2 years ago, 4th of July weekend, where he won the title. That was a loud building that night, but I can only imagine how loud it was in that building. Where I was last night, the place was going nuts. The place was going insane. And by the way, let me just point this out. Sometimes in life, for a man, it's better to last more than 13 seconds. That's all I'm going to say.
Again, Brian Benway talking to the adults and not the kids here on the program. moving right along to the – I want to talk about – I want to – yeah, exactly. Frazzle me for a second. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Now, I want to get back into I thought that the Ronda Rousey kind of hype and everything about quick fights and fights ending so quickly, it got us kind of like ready for that. And then when she goes and the way her fight ends up the last time around where she's got to go two rounds and then she gets beaten, kind of, you know, you don't think that. I never – nothing about this fight made me think that Conor McGregor was going to walk into that ring, throw pretty much the only punch in the entire fight. I mean, Aldo gets a punch off, which actually connects to a McGregor who's falling back. And you know, Conor, you know, he talks a lot of smack, but he's also a very, very polite fighter. I mean, how many fighters knock you out, then wake you back up to make sure you watch him celebrate? That's basically what Conor McGregor did last night. He knocked him out with one punch, got to the mat, and Aldo was completely out. McGregor gives him two. It wakes up Aldo. Hey, he's looking. He sees the ref over him. He's like, wait. Hold on. I'm out. Yeah, no. Watch me celebrate, buddy. I'm hitting the top of this octagon. I don't know what you're doing. You look real comfy on the mat. And sure enough, I mean, the excitement, you look at a guy like McGregor, and he's got to get baggier with the shorts, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. He's got to get baggier with the shorts. But you look at a guy like him, his bravado, his attitude. I really wanted to see him take a couple of punches. Is anybody else with me on that? I wanted to see the bad man take a couple of punches and then come in and fight. That's why I loved the Weidman fight a whole lot more.
You know what? We're going to see him take some punches later on because he's going to get some more high-profile fights. I love how entertaining he is. If you actually want to have a really – entertaining 5 minutes or so today, if you have free time, go to YouTube and just Google Conor McGregor trash talk, and there's like a 5 minute compilation of all of his greatest trash talking moments. It's amazing. Trust me, you will thank me for that. But when you're looking at McGregor, he's so badass. You see how jacked he was in the Instagram photo he posted on mm-hmm. Friday? The dude mm-hmm. is ripped. The dude is tough. If I were in a bar fight, I would want him to be my friend. I'm telling you right now, that guy could go through probably 5 or 6 dudes at once. And by the way, I want to bring it back to the punch and what you were just talking about, Hus, about mm-hmm. he knocked him out and then he stands over him and wakes him up. You know what it reminds me of? Back mm-hmm. in the original Friday movie when Chris Tucker or Ice Cube knocks out Debo. And then Chris Tucker goes up and stands above Debo and tells him he got knocked out. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of a little bit when I saw that. But that's the worst, though. You get knocked out by a guy, and then the dude comes up and says, "Hey, I knocked you out. Watch this. I'm up on the cage now celebrating." That's got to be the worst. I've never been knocked out before in my life, but if I were knocked out, I wouldn't want the guy that knocked me out to be the guy to wake me up. I wouldn't want that. I would feel like less of a man if that happened.
Yeah, Aldo taking the McGregor smelling salts. That was just that was an awesome fight. Awesome fight. Now let's get back to a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball as well. Let's bring my man Amir Toluk back in here. He's just like, okay, you guys are talking fighting. We love the fighting. It was a huge fight night, Amir. We got to get you into MMA. If I've got to come and show you what a guillotine is myself, you don't want me to do that to you. Whatever. You definitely don't want me to go guillotine on you there, buddy. Okay, real quickly, all the pomp, all the circumstance, all the pageantry, all the love as a standalone game, Army Navy. It's still, like, you know, there were some times where I thought this game started to, you know, lose its luster a bit, but what a wonderful show of pageantry, and the game was great. Army Navy beat Army, but not by much. That game should still be a standalone game, in my opinion. Brian, do you enjoy the pageantry of the military celebration, and also get your take on the Heisman guy? They gave the Heisman to a running back. Go figure.
Yeah, I always loved Army-Navy, and I'm not the biggest college football fan, as you know. But Army-Navy is just one of those games that withstands the test of time. We're going to be sitting here wherever we are in 50 or 60 years, and we're going to be talking about Army-Navy again this year. I love the pageantry. I'm a huge fan of what they do during the entire game. I would love to attend that game one time. That's actually one of my bucket list items, is to go to an Army-Navy game. I had actually several friends that were there yesterday that were working in the media that got to go and cover it. So I'm a huge fan of Army-Navy. I'm a huge fan of what they do. And as far as the Heisman goes, didn't watch the ceremony. I'm not a big Heisman guy. I think the Heisman is actually one of the most overrated trophies and one of the most overrated awards in all of sports, and I'll give you a couple of examples why. Guy by the name of Tim Tebow, Heisman winner, terrible NFL quarterback, so I throw it right out the window. Johnny Manziel won a Heisman, which I still don't think he should have won it that year. I would have voted for Manti Te'o. Still, terrible NFL quarterback. Geno Toretta won a Heisman. By the way, when's the last time you heard the name Geno Toretta thrown out on a show? So you have Eric Crouch, all these guys that have won Heismans that have gone nowhere and nobody really ever talks about, except when they're talking about minuscule Heisman Trophy finalists or whoever won. So I'm not a big Heisman Trophy guy. I think it's very overrated. So to me, it's not at the top of my list of trophies that I like to talk about.
I can hear Amiri going to Google right now. Eric Crouch.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm teaching a lot of things today. Eric Crouch won a Heisman Trophy. You probably didn't even know who he was.
I do want to ask, Amiri, do you know who Eric Crouch is? Please tell me you do.
No.
Okay.
That's my point. That's my point, is the Heisman is so overrated. You shouldn't, you know, people are always going to know who the winners are. That's my point, is it's so overrated. You don't even know who one of the Heisman winners is.
Yeah. It's not, far from the, yeah, you got a point there. Eric Crouch, who didn't, you know, played quarterback for Nebraska back when Nebraska was doing their Nebraska thing in the 90s and, you know, came to the NFL and wasn't really the best quarterback. Then they tried to play him a defensive back, and he wasn't really the best defensive back. Then he decided the best place for his back to be was on his couch, and he just decided he didn't want to play football anymore. That was Eric Crouch. And for a long time, people definitely called him Eric Crouch. But anyway, can you believe it? Another Heisman Trophy winner bites the dust. But yeah, you got a point there. It can be a little overrated sometimes. You want to see, you tend to forget. They kind of blend in a little bit. But that was perfect. Beery's like, Eric who? Love it. Love it. On the program. Hey, here's somebody that will never say who. Steph Curry. What? Steph Curry who? Steph Curry with the shot, okay? Let's put it this way. They finally lost, Amiri. Didn't know if that was the reason why. Oh, I didn't get you this early in the morning. I was like, oh, wow, the Warriors lost. And Amiri said, screw this sports thing, I'm done. But the Warriors, 24-1. Okay, 24-1, losing to – but did any of you guys get to see – and what I got to see from the – And of course, I get to finally tune into a live Warriors game. Thank you very much. But what I get to see from the tweets and the pictures and the highlights was all of the Milwaukee fans embracing this. And Amiri, I want to go back and I want you to kind of remember and tell me if you can remember when a fan base embraced something as the Milwaukee Bucks embraced putting the first loss on the Warriors this season. When did you get like a home team that wasn't doing so good, just embrace this one game and take it as if it's their NBA championships? When was the last time you saw one, Amiri?
That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, when you think about the motivation that every team has had on the course of this 24-0 streak right now, you know, for Golden State, I think it's 24-1 now, right? I think at some point prior to all of these victories for Golden State, entering you know, as a team on the opposing side, you have to have some level of optimism that your team will be the one to break the streak. I don't know if Milwaukee entering it in though thought that they would be the team to knock Golden State off. I don't think any team really came into it considering how hot Golden State had been for the last last month and a half, really. I think the positives though is that, you know, you have a fan base that really has, as you just mentioned, embraced. I mean, they had T-shirts saying 24-1, you know, giving out to all of the fans. So they really did grasp this victory, grasp this upset, and kind of made it into their own. So I certainly think this will be one of those games where you come back at the end of the season and recollect. This will be one of those bright moments. You have the 24-1 moment. I think this is a time where, as a fan base, this is where you want to definitely connect, because you might not get too many situations like this when you're able to topple the best team in the National Basketball Association on your home floor. So that certainly was a bright spot for them. I think this is obviously to a much larger extreme, but as a Giants fan myself, I think my moment like this was certainly in the Super Bowl when the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots back in Super Bowl 42. But that's another topic for another day. Haas, obviously the New York Giants in that situation knocking off the 18-0 New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, the biggest game of all. And that was a huge one for Giants fans. Obviously the Super Bowl win, but also knocking off the hated Patriots. So yeah, that would be my personal comparison. But yeah, nevertheless, I think Milwaukee in general has created a memory that coming back at the end of the season, you'll remember more than anything.
See how he did that there. See how he did that there, Brian. How he snuck in another good Giants moment. He'll do that once or twice a game. Brian, I know you've had a chance to check out a lot, not just, you know, watching as a fan, but live as well. Have you ever been in an area? Have you ever been around a team that sort of embraced the opposite side like Milwaukee did? You had to see them, and on a gambling side, to be perfectly honest, this was the ultimate setup. Every gambler in anywhere was taking the Bucks. After back-to-back games, you're a West Coast team on an East Coast road trip, you just got off a double overtime game with the Celtics, everything stacked up against the Warriors in this last one. But have you ever been in an arena where you felt that same vibe there, Brian?
By the way, when is the parade in Milwaukee, by the way?
Oh, you see? Oh, wow. See, that's where we went.
That's the greatest thing to happen to Milwaukee since ever, all right? Nothing ever happens in Milwaukee. The best thing in Milwaukee is the beer that they brew there. But that's another story for another day. Just like to use the line Amiri just used. I've been in buildings, arenas, stadiums a couple of times when this went down. I'm actually trying to recall the best moment that I was in. But I'll go back to a couple of boxing fights when I was in. Going to Vegas when Manny Pacquiao got knocked out. Remember that the last one he got knocked out? Yeah. I think it was 2012. He got knocked out.
Remember.
I was in the building that night in Vegas. That was pretty cool. And then going back to basketball, I was in the building when the Spurs won the NBA championship a couple of years ago. That place obviously was going crazy. And then I want to go and give you a reference that you might not think that I would bring up. You're talking about a building going completely nuts over a certain moment, right? And that's what we saw last night. Go back to the Iron Bowl a couple of years ago when Auburn brought back that missed kick for a touchdown. I wasn't there, but that kind of had the same feel to me watching on television where everybody was going insane that game. I'll go back even further, and I'm going to bring now a reference in that you probably didn't see coming at all. So we're talking about a building going crazy, right? Everybody's on the same page, right? Everybody is celebrating. Haas, I know you are a WWE fan, correct? Or am I wrong with that?
I used to be a very long time ago, but now
I
can't say
I used to be as well. I used to be as well. And here's the moment I'm going to bring up. I was in the building when Stone Cold Steve Austin drove the beer truck to the ring and sprayed beer on The Rock and Vince McMahon. You remember that moment, right? That was the loudest building I had ever been in my entire life. All the Vegas fights that I was at, all the NBA Finals games I was at. So that's the reference I'm going to use. We saw the Bucks fan base going completely insane. Honestly, I had never been in a building as loud as when Stone Cold drove the beer truck to the ring. And by the way, Amiri, if you haven't seen that one, it's awesome to watch on YouTube too. That one, the loudest building I had ever been in my life was that night. Still to this day.
The only guest who comes on and gives the hosts homework. I love it. And he brings it full circle, talking about Milwaukee, bringing it back to the Milwaukee beer, bringing it back to beer. That was just all around great story there by the man, Brian Benway. Brian, as usual, always a pleasure. Folks, make sure you join Brian on Twitter. I'm telling you, in-game analysis, always hilarious, all week long. Follow him on Twitter, at Brian Benway. That is with a Y, not with an I, folks. Brian, as always, all our best. Enjoy the Sunday of football. And, you know, come on back next week. Tell us what you had.
Do your homework, guys. See you next week.
Hey, you know. Brian Benway joining us again on the program for another entertaining segment. Bigger, Badder, Benway. He's got a point there. I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, it's easier, I guess, in football for everybody to get rallied up for one game because it's one game every week. You know, I was thinking more of those games that had, you know, multiple games during the season, like the baseballs, the hockeys, and basketballs. You know, you just lace them up and go out again the next week or the next game, excuse me, which is probably going to be the next night, and you just kind of move on. But the way Milwaukee really embraced I was thinking along the lines of, and if you're a New York fan, I was thinking of the Knicks. When the Knicks won one postseason game against the Celtics and then balloons and stuff out of the Raptors.
With Amari.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly where the fans were like, yay. The fans were kind of like, what, dude? You're celebrating what? But it was kind of like that moment where it was like, oh, yeah, look, we won. No, we didn't really win anything. But we all won something.
Right.
So it's kind of the same moment there where everybody won something but didn't really, because the Warriors are still 24-1 and the Bucks will still be, well, you know, the Bucks by the end of the season. So, but yeah, of course, Brian Benway giving us a lot of homework, giving the fan base a lot of homework. Our homework for the fans this week: go out, enjoy a great day of Sunday football. All right, the weather's awesome all around the country. Might get a sprinkle in one or two venues, but mostly, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, you're going to see great weather. Go out, enjoy a tailgate. I know the Jets fans will. I already saw some pictures of some good eats. So I already know some of the fan base will be out there enjoying it and having a great time. I always have a great time when I'm joined by the one and only Amiri Tilla. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Amiri Tilla. And don't forget, you can follow your friend Joseph Haas on Twitter at Jersey Haas. Man, it's been another fabulous Green and White Show, 115 and counting. So I guess for your man Amiri Tilla there, I'm Joseph Haas here. All I can say is, God bless. Oh, yeah, this is Mikey. Go Jets. Start this up. I know, right? I was sitting there going, oh, yeah, wait, that's me. Take us home.
Diversity Music Group. Alex H. The Bomb Factory.
Another great show, my man. Much
welcome
appreciated.
To this week's Green and White.
Do it again next week, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's see if I can get this right. Yeah, there we go. We'll have another week of fun, exciting football talk. He's Amiri Tilla. I'm Joseph Haas. You are the great fans. We do this each and every week for us. So can't wait to see you back next week for another Green and White Show. So then, we are out.
Women and more women, more sin, and I'm resisting Christian stress. Blessed, young, and gifted, the bar's been lifting. Started from the bottom, I'm now on top of the world. Look, ma, I made it, the new most hated. Underestimated since I haven't been painted. Our stories aren't related, so they don't believe.
run a few years before I fade to black. My impact shift back to order deliverable.